They come from the east and west. They come from the lands afar to feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are!
Hallelujah!
Beholding these hallowed gates, oh, aglow with light divine. Let's partake of His grace as gems in His crown to shine.
Oh, since Jesus
has set me free,
yes, set me free.
I'm happy as heart can be.
Oh,
no longer I bear the burden of care. His yoke is so sweet to me.
So sweet.
Christ, you was not black
as black.
Dark, but darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory. Jesus has saved me.
Amen.
I look on the great white throne before it the ransom stand. No longer I walk, no sorrow is known, no death in that goodly land.
Oh,
my Savior has gone before.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, preparing the way. Gates of the Holy Land stand open by night and day. No long to our Lord, who gave it more grace, whose love has prepared the way.
Has prepared
the home in those mansions.
In those mansions,
His tenders reserved for
today.
Since Jesus has set
me, He has set you free.
As happy as heart can be.
Oh, I'm happy.
No longer I get the burden of care. So sweet, so sweet. My soul was as dark as
night. Oh, so dark.
But darkness has taken flight. Jesus is coming soon. Our trials will soon be over. What if our Lord this moment should come for those who are free from fear?
So free.
Bring me joy, oh, sorrow and deep despair. Now I shout the victory, for Jesus has set me free.
Saints, we greet you in Jesus' name today. It's good to be in His house. We just asked Brother Wilmer not to take an offering yet. I just wanted to ask today if you could take a special offering, which maybe we'll do now. There's one brother from Northern Ireland who's currently in Uganda, the same place that Brother Tommy went to preach with Brother Leo and the brothers. They're real fine brothers, and he contacted me this week because they run an orphanage there in Uganda. The church has an orphanage, and there's a lot of, you know how it is in Africa with all the AIDS orphans and so forth. So he sent me some photos. They weren't very good photos. I was going to show them. But they were really asking for some help. That brother who's from Northern Ireland was saying, brother, would it be possible if you could help with the orphans? So I thought today we'd just take a special offering, and everything that goes in the offering today, we'll send it to the brother so that he can distribute it amongst the orphans to help the work. And like I'm saying, it's a message, church. The money will be used wisely there to help the orphans. And they were just sending me some testimonies of the various orphans that have come to Christ and the different things that are taking place there. So let's just sing one more song, Brother George, if you wouldn't mind. Let's take an offering, and maybe Brother Will can give time at each row to let people give freely today, because it's really for a good cause. And may the Lord bless that money and use it for His glory.
Jehovah Jireh, my
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this song. Father, for you are great. There's no one else like you. And Father, what could we give that would be acceptable to you? But Father, you said if we love one another, Father, and how we desire to ask your blessing on this offering. Bless each person that is freely given upon this day. And Father, these finances, we give them into your hands. We pray that be used for your glory. We pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct them, Father, to minister in such a way, Lord, that you would be glorified is our desire. Sanctify these things, Lord. Bless them. I do pray, Lord, for the brothers in Uganda. May you bless them at this time. Bless them for the work that they're doing. Give them a special blessing upon this day. And us, Lord, as we come to your word, we're looking unto thee. Father, how we know that outside of thee we can do nothing, because you are the vine and we are the branches, Lord. And Father, how each and every one of us would come unto this place upon this day. We haven't come, Lord, just to gather as people, but Father, we've come with a desire to have communion with you. So Father, each of us would desire to lay ourselves upon the altar now, to pray that the precious blood would speak in our behalf, Lord, that if there'd be anything between us and you, anything, Lord, that would hinder, Father, fellowship upon this day, Father, let your blood wash it away, we'd ask, and just bring us to the place of yieldedness and surrender, and quieten us down now, Lord, and Father, minister to us through your word, that as we'd come to the end of the service, we'd say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Bless your people this day, we ask, in Jesus' name. God bless. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14. We'll read from verse 15 to 17. Just while you're opening, just a reminder, next weekend, Brother Barry Coffey is with us. We're going to have two services on Saturday, starting 10:30 Saturday morning. We'll finish the service. We'll stay here, have lunch. So if saints could bring their own food between services, then we'll have our afternoon service around 3 o'clock or such time as that. And then we'll have service Sunday morning here, and then Sunday evening will be at Brother Tom's church. He's really asked and persuaded, so I spoke to Brother Barry. So we'll be going to Brother, whoever can come, let's go up to Brother Tom, and Brother Barry will preach there on Sunday in the evening. So there'll be two services here Saturday, one on Sunday for us, and then with Brother Tom. And, you know, friends, we always try to do one thing. We try to notify people well ahead of time of these meetings so that people can take time off from work and plan things around these meetings. So we'd really ask people to support the meetings, because it costs a lot of money and it's a lot of effort to bring people. You know, and sometimes if people come and some people don't come for the meetings, that it really is very disappointing, you know, for everybody involved. So I'd really encourage people to support the meetings, because I think if we support the meetings, the Lord continues to send his people our way. I really do believe that. So I'd really ask saints, please be in prayer, you know, even if you can't support other ways. But let's really pray for these meetings that the Lord might help us. And somebody asked a good question the other day saying, is it just family meetings? You know, and I said, well, the family includes children. It includes youth. It includes single people. That's the family. It includes married people. It includes grandmothers also in the family. So we've asked Brother Barry to cover quite a number of topics, including Saturday afternoon services. I asked him to take something directed for the youth and also to help parents maybe to minister their children through the difficult teenage years, maybe to focus on that, how youth can survive their teens and how parents can survive their teens with the youth. You know, that kind of a topic. So he's going to be covering quite a wide range of things. So it's not just for married people. That's not what family meetings are about. Family meetings are anything to do with the family. You know, it can be young people, old people, but it's more the practical side of the message that is being preached when you come for these kind of meetings. You know, so I just wanted to explain that, because I know some of the single people thought maybe it won't be for us, but it will definitely be. You know, it'll cover. Remember last time he came, he preached spiritual warfare. It was real powerful, two services up at Brother Tommy's, and there were some outstanding manifestations and healings and things that took place. So I really do believe if you have a hunger, if you have a need, the Lord will direct the word your way to minister to your need. Even if Brother Barry's planned something else, the Spirit moves and pushes things the way that they need to go. And that is our desire for those meetings. So please support them in prayer this week. We'll have a special prayer meeting on Wednesday. I'll be here for Wednesday. Please, let's have a time where we come and really consecrate ourselves and these meetings before the Lord. And then Saturday morning, 10:30. Let's read John chapter 14 from verse 15 to 17. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Friends, let's pray once again. Let's all put ourselves before the Lord today as we come to the word. Heavenly Father, we do call upon thy name. Lord, in your precious name to bring ourselves before thee. How we ask of thee, Lord, grant us mercy, Lord, as I want to look unto thee, as I want to wait upon thee, to dedicate it all up unto thee, to give unto thee the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Saints, let's be seated. We just wanted to answer some questions and answers once again upon this day. And today we wanted to focus on a question which is a real important one. On Friday night, we had a look at what should be the attitude of message believers to other literature. And we took just the book of Jasher, which Brother George Martin had preached on so wonderfully. We took that on Friday just to show about what should be the attitude of believers to reading other kinds of books and stuff. So if you're interested in that, it'll be on the website. I know the brothers will put it there. But to try to focus on Friday night down the line that there's only one thing in this age that has rapturing faith, and that's the message of the hour. You know, and we've got to be really be careful because the Bible says redeeming the time for the days of evil. So there's a lot of things out there that maybe they can be interesting things. There can be nothing wrong in those things, but they don't have the anointing for this age. They don't have an anointing that's going to quicken and move you into your adopted position or that's going to quicken your faith unto a rapture. So we're just explaining on Friday that with our limited time, the Bible says redeeming the time. So I would really believe that it would be wise counsel to each of us that we spend the vast majority of our time in the things that God has sent to us in this age. The things that have got the anointing that will give us power to overcome the conditions of this age. So that's what you focused on a lot on Friday when you answered that question. And then I just went and showed on Friday the different resources the prophet himself used. Because the prophet, when he was waiting upon the Lord for doctrine, especially when it came to the Revelation series, which was his commission to break forth the mysteries of God that had been sealed unto the time of the end, the prophet never used any other books for doctrine. He never did. The prophet says, I'm a one-book man when it comes to doctrine. He would wait upon the Lord with his Bible. But when the prophet wanted to look at the natural history, he said, like of the churches of Smyrna and Pergamos and so forth, the background of things, then the prophet would use other resources. Then he would take, and we showed on Friday, the one that he spoke the most about, 47 times in the message, he speaks about Josephus, the Jewish historian. And we went through the various things the prophet speaks of the most. He spoke about two Babylons. He spoke about Fox's Book of Martyrs. Those were the main books the prophet speaks of in the message. So we were saying on Friday that if we wanted to really study the background of things, it would be, I'd say, very wise to use the books the prophet used. You know, that to me would make a lot of sense. So if our main focus is on the message, and then if you want to find the background of things, let's look at the resources the prophet himself used to find the background of things. And if we have sufficient time in our limited schedules, friends, to read other things, I would really recommend that we read the things that the prophet did. But the first priority, because the devil is very cunning. Now, he'll get you involved reading a lot of other things. And there'd be no sin in those things. They're not bad things. They're harmless things, but they're not beneficial because they don't have the anointing of the eagle upon them. And we need the eagle anointing to overcome in this age. We need the eagle anointing to get ourselves soaring in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we're not going in the rapture unless we have rapturing faith. And God has ministered a specific message with a specific anointing in this age to bring forth the promises of this age. You know, so we can look back to what others said in past ages. It's okay. But they had the anointing of the ox. They had the anointing of the man. You know, so that's not the anointing that we require for this age. So we just said that Brother Lonnie Jenkins, he gave good advice. He said he really recommended to new believers, don't read anything else for at least the first 10 years being a believer. And we did that. I did that myself. We had never read anything else. And we didn't listen to a lot of other internet preachers those days. We focused on what was being preached in the local assembly, and we focused on the message of the hour. And friends, we really benefited from that because it lays a foundation that you know what you believe. But if you quickly get yourself involved reading other books, you don't have the thinking man's filter. You're not yet able to discern what is good and what is bad. So you've got to really get yourself soaked in the message. Then go and read anything you want because then you can discern that this is right and this is not. And we looked at certain things. Like we said on Friday, Brother George Martin is a master. This is his 36th time this year to Israel. So he knows what is beneficial to glean. So when he gleaned things from the book of Jasher for us, they were very beneficial. But I went and I showed on Friday, I think quite conclusively, there's a lot of rubbish in the book of Jasher as well, friends. There's a lot of unscriptural contradictions of the Bible. You know, so he's very wise because he knows how to glean the right things to deliver, which is in line with the message of that. And that's what made it such a blessing. But if you just give your children the book of Jasher, or if you just read the book of Jasher yourself, it'll end up telling you things like we showed on Friday. It'll tell you that Moses was 18 years old when he killed the Egyptian. It wasn't. The Bible says he was 40 years old. You'll find out that it says that Isaac married Rebecca when she was 10 years old. She wasn't 10 years old. She watered all of the camels. You'll find it says that Joseph, when he hid the cup in Benjamin's sack and then wanted to keep Benjamin, Judah came and broke the door down in the palace and came into Joseph and threatened to burn all the crops of Egypt if he didn't let Benjamin go. And that Pharaoh and Joseph were so scared of Judah that they made an agreement with him. Now, friends, it's not the Bible, a lot of those things. You need people like Brother George to glean the things that are beneficial. And we showed that is how it was in the Bible as well. There's only two quotes in the Bible from the book of Jasher. Because whoever it was, the Holy Ghost, in whichever prophets that God used to compile the Bible, in the book of Joshua and in the book of Kings, they just gleaned little portions. Is it not written that the sun stood still in the book of Jasher? Is it not written in the days of David, it says that he taught the use of the bow? So the Holy Ghost in the prophets could glean just the things that were required. But friends, there's very little in the book of Jasher that's inspired. Very little. I've read it myself, much of it. And the life of Joseph in the book of Jasher, a lot of it, is not the life of Joseph from the Bible. Joseph in the Bible is perfection, but you read it in the book of Jasher, it sure ain't perfection. It says, Joseph exalted himself above his brethren when his father gave him a coat, and he was haughty, he was proud before them. It says it twice in the book of Jasher. But Joseph was a perfect type of Christ. Christ was never proud before his brethren. Even though he had the covenant robe, the Holy Ghost, on the Jordan, Jesus was always humble. You know, so I was trying to explain that on Friday. I said, be careful. If you seasoned, read those things, it's okay. But be careful of just giving it to anybody, especially to new believers, because you'll end up believing that Enoch, like Jasher said, was a king over the whole earth. You know, those are all things that you're not going to find in the message. The prophet never said that. The Bible doesn't say that. And almost on every page of the book of Jasher, if you know your Bible, if you know the message, you find a lot of things that you say, oh, that's not true. That's not right. That's not the way that it was. You know, so I really was saying, read it with caution. One sister sent me a very good question that the other week and said, you know, should I buy the book of Jasher? Should I read it? I said, sister, if I were you, I would read rather the messages where the prophet speaks about those things. Brother George preached to us about the return of Israel. You know, that they have to, the gospel must return to Israel. I said, if you want to understand that message, better read 70 weeks of Daniel, 5th seal, 4th seal, 6th seal. You know, rather read those things from the message that explains it to us. Because I said to that sister, I said, I believe that everything that God wanted us to know from the book of Jasher, Brother George Martin came and brought it to us. And if you go and read it yourself, you'll see it for yourself, friends. There's a lot of error in that book. And the problem is they wrote it like a Bible. It's got chapters and verses, and it like follows the Bible, but it puts a lot of things in that aren't in the Bible and that contradict the Bible. It'll say when Jacob came up, like brought the people down from Palestine, from Canaan, coming into Egypt, there were 75 of them. They weren't. The Bible says there were 70. You know, so it continually contradicts the Bible. And the Bible says, we are told, don't add to this word and don't take away from it. And that book, it adds things in all the time which aren't found in here. And unless somebody has real spiritual discernment, like I'm saying, like Brother George, who's a master at those things and makes it a blessing, it's very easy for us to believe things that aren't right. To say, but hey, I didn't know that. I didn't know that Rebecca was 10 years old. Friends, Isaac wasn't a pedophile. He didn't take a 10-year-old girl. You know, that's not what the scripture says. You know, so we've got to really filter the things through the thinking man's filter of the message of the hour. So rather soak yourself in the message as much as you can. So if you do read those things, you can filter straight away and say this, that, and the other. But I would say rather redeem the time with the message of the hour. But the problem is we become too used to the message and we start saying, our soul loathes this light bread. We want the garlic from Egypt and we want all these other special things. And friends, be careful, because God knew what he was doing when he sent us the message. He knew the resources that needed to be used. He knew the messenger that needed to be sent. And all the bride needs, Brother Neville said before he died, remember, They went to Brother Neville when he was on his deathbed. Brother Neville, do you have any last words? And at first he said, no, I have nothing. And as the believers were walking out of the room, he says, no, wait. He says, all the bride needs is in those books and tapes. And friends, I believe that is the testimony of a message believer. So focus mainly on those things, friends. And even in our fellowship, like we were saying, when you fellowship around the message of the hour, there's a special quickening that comes. There's the deep inside of you starts to respond to the deep in the message. But when we just fellowship around other things, they have interest sake, but they don't quicken us towards our personal adoption. They don't like quicken us to where we're supposed to be. So we need as much as we can in a complex and a busy age, by the grace of God, to spend as much time under the anointing, that quickening. Like the prophet says, lay in the presence of the Son of Man, of the messenger of the hour. He says we've caught the message intellectually. We need to lay in his presence so that it can bathe down, so that we can become mature and no longer be plenty green. So, but I know the devil diverts us and we spend time on reading a lot of news, a lot of other things. Well, in moderation, all those things are fine. But friends, the majority of a believer's time, I would believe, if you want to be strong and quickened and making progress towards your personal adoption, the best way is just feed yourself on the pure message of the hour. The pure message, straight from the prophet's message, and not even from other message ministers. No, but straight from the prophet himself. That's the best advice I think anybody ever gave me, and I've tried to obey it as much as I possibly could, and I've never regretted it ever since I got in the message. And I would say the same. And if new people come among us, don't give them other things to read, other books and other tapes and things to listen to. Give them the message. Give them the MP3s, give them a Church Ages, a Seals, a Hebrew series, a Holy Ghost series. Encourage them, and then they will be quickened the way that you were quickened. They'll find the same power of deliverance. They'll find the same spiritual food in due season that you and I found when you first came to the message. But we've got used to the message sometimes, and we read other books, and then new people come and we give them other books to read. Friends, I don't think we should do that, especially not to new people. Let them find eagle food and the benefit of eagle food, and they're not going to hunger and thirst for anything else after that. It's not that there's not a lot of other things to read. But friends, the only thing that really satisfies me sufficiently is the message that we believe. Other things you can glean a little bit here and there, but the message, it's just exactly what God knew that we require in this age. So that was the main question we looked at on Friday, was just speaking down those lines. Now, the question today is, as I said on Friday, it's maybe the most important question for anybody, is how do you receive the Holy Ghost? And how do you know that you've got the Holy Ghost? Now, I'm sure to every believer, that's a very, very critical question because it's of supreme importance. So the prophet himself in What is the Holy Ghost, paragraph 22, he says, upon this place, we wish to approach the subject, he says, which I think is the outstanding subject of today, of what is the Holy Spirit? What is it? Now, the reason I've taken these subjects, we know he preached firstly, what is the Holy Ghost? Then he preached, what does the Holy Ghost do? Why was the Holy Ghost given? And then he preached a message that he never recorded called, how to receive the Holy Ghost and how to know that you've got it. He never recorded it. And he was very wise in what he did. But he says, these subjects, the reason I've taken them in line like this. Now, listen how he puts it. We know this, but let's just refresh our memories a bit. It says, you cannot come and receive the Holy Spirit unless you know what it is. Amen. And friends, that is a truth. Because we've made the Holy Ghost such a mystery. We've made this great mystery of the Holy Ghost that, you know, I've got to, you know, try to pull something down from heaven. I've got to, you know, put together some complicated something to get the Holy Ghost. Well, let's really see what the prophet and the Bible say about it. He says, you cannot come and receive the Holy Spirit unless you know what it is. And you cannot receive it, if you know what it is, unless you believe it's given to you and it's for you. You know, because sometimes, you know, the way it's preached sometimes, like when we were back home in Zimbabwe, our pastor used to preach the Holy Ghost like it was his personal domain. He was the only one in church that had the Holy Ghost. And the brothers won't bear witness. No one else had the Holy Ghost apart from him. And I think he liked it like that. You see, but that's not what you want, because the Holy Ghost is the children's bread, friends. The Holy Ghost is our inheritance. It's the purpose Christ died for us. is to give us the Holy Ghost. That is the absolute purpose of redemption. All through the ages was God unfolded redemption down to that, so that God could come and dwell in his people once again. That's the whole purpose of Calvary. That's the whole purpose of the Bible. That's the whole purpose of Christianity, of the message of the hour, everything. So that God can come into you and God can come into me. So that God can continue his work in us. So why, if it's so important for us to have the Holy Ghost so that the kingdom of God can go forward, why would God make it so hard to get it? Or so mysterious that it's only for a certain select group of the elect who understand it all? That's not how it is, friends. The Holy Ghost is very simple, friends. It's very simple and very readily available to whosoever's thirsting for it. You just have to come about it the right way. It's not a complicated thing. And the prophet goes on to say, and you cannot know whether you've got it or not unless you know the results it brings. So if somebody tells you, got to speak in tongues, otherwise you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're going to always be seeking something, but maybe you've already got it. But maybe somebody's told you the wrong evidence that you should be looking for. So you're expecting something, but maybe you've already got something. And maybe if you take the real scriptural evidence and the real message evidence of it, like the prophet says, he says, the problem with this topic is many people think they've got it when they don't. And many people don't think they have it when they do. You see, and that's why he wants you to take those messages in the sequence that he did. Then he goes on to say, so if you know what it is, so let's look at that first, and who it's to, and what action it brings when it comes, then you'll know what you've got when you get it. You see? And that would settle it. The prophet says, that'll settle it. Don't you want to be settled about the Holy Ghost? Do you want to go all your life, 25, 30 years as a message believer, always wondering, do I really have the Holy Ghost? I don't think the Lord wants us to be like that, friends. We've got to be settled. If you don't have it, let's get it. If you've got it, know that you got it. Just seek for more of it. That's the best thing that you can possibly do. But I don't think the Lord wants us in our minds always to be questioning over this question. Do I have the Holy Ghost? Am I going to go in the rapture? Am I a son of God? You'll never be settled. And it's very hard in that kind of a condition for the Lord really to do very much in and through you. Because you're not sure of yourself. But you've got to bring it back to the way that the prophet speaks about it. So we want to look at four key principles here today. We'll just take our time and look at these principles. The first one is the most important one, is that Jesus desires to be personally known by every one of his children. And it needs the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for you to personally know Jesus Christ. If you don't have if you never receive the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will always know about Jesus. You'll always be told about Jesus, but you'll never personally know him. Because the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the personal revelation by visitation of Jesus Christ to your soul. Amen. So anybody that's had an experience where Jesus Christ revealed himself to you, and you can say today, I know Jesus is my Savior. I know he revealed himself to me. I know he's real. Maybe you had an experience that you didn't really realize what it was. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the spirit of Jesus Christ himself. The same spirit that dwelt in the body that was crucified for us, the Son of God. That same Jesus who walked with his disciples, he now came in his disciples. Amen. It's the same Jesus. It's that same Jesus coming to you personally. Amen. Now, if you are here today and you can honestly say within yourself, I've never met Jesus personally. I've heard about him. I've accepted him as my Savior. I've heard that he died for my sins. I was under conviction of sin and I received him as my Savior. But you, in your soul, you don't know him personally. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because that is the only thing that brings you to know him. To really personally know him is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's why the scripture he read there, Jesus said, verse 17 of John 14. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So it's this process of Jesus coming from ministering to you from without and guiding you from without and protecting you from without and counseling you and shepherding you from without. It's an experience now where you move from something outside to something inside. The same Jesus that the disciples were walking with, who was watching over them and caring for them and teaching them and warning them about deception and warning them about all kinds of things, that Jesus says, he's with you, but he's going to be in you. Amen. And that's what the Holy Ghost is. It's a transference of Jesus from without, so that he's not speaking to you from without all the time. That you need your mother and father all the time to crank you to go to church. That you need other people to be encouraging you to read your Bible and to pray. But now that same spirit that is exhorting you through other people, that is encouraging you through other people, counseling you and shepherding you and warning you and reviving you and whatever, through other people, now comes and lives inside of you. So you don't need all the other people to be doing it for you. You can live it yourself. You can just get before God yourself. You don't need other people always to be praying for you. You know how to get there because that same Jesus in other people who's been ministering to is now in you. So you know now how to get your Bible and God gives you personal revelation. You don't need other people all the time to be explaining because you're confused all the time about the message. The prophet says the Holy Ghost gives you clarity in the word. Because he's the Spirit of truth. Yes, we do need the gifts of the Spirit to teach us. We know that. We do need those things to shepherd us and so forth. But even if God sends you a shepherd, even if like Jesus himself, the great shepherd, yeah? But until the disciples got the same Spirit in them, it was very hard for them to be shepherded even by Jesus himself. Because you can never fully be shepherded unless you have the same Spirit in you. So the Spirit works through a gift of a shepherd, but you've got to have the same Spirit inside of you to be able to be completely shepherded. So it's got to be like this. And friends, if God is going to make it so difficult to get the Holy Ghost, God is defeating his own program. He's defeating his program. Because God, the greatest thing that God desires is for you to be taken safely and securely from earth to glory. Because you're his sons and his daughters. And the way that God knew was the only guarantee to bring his children to glory without being deceived and overcome and overtaken was he had to come in them and walk in them and shepherd from within and teach from within and strengthen them from within to bring you to glory. That's why the Holy Ghost is the greatest indication of the greatness of God's love for you. Amen. Apart from Calvary, when he died for you. But God so loves you and me. He's so determined to get us to our adoption, to fulfill what he's called us to and to bring us to the rapture, to bring us into glory, that God's not going to leave it to anybody else to do it. God's not going to trust any man or any woman, no matter how good they are, to give them the responsibility to make sure you make the rapture. Never. God's never going to be foolish enough to do that. God's never going to leave such an important task. The most important thing that's in his heart is the redemption of his children. The full redemption of his children. Do you think God's going to leave that in the hands of mortal people? That your redemption and mine and you and I getting in the rapture depends on other people? No ways. God's going to take that responsibility upon himself. He's going to say, this is my responsibility. I'm leaving it to no one else. And the way that he does it is through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is God's way of coming into you to create some, put something in you that's going to take you to there. And that's why it says you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It's God's guarantee. It's him in you, Jesus himself, his Spirit in you, to make sure you're not going to be deceived. To make sure you're not going to get knocked down and die in the wilderness like it did under the old covenant. God doesn't want that kind of worship anymore, friends. He wants to be in you. So even when this earthly tabernacle gets worn down, or even your human spirit can get discouraged or can get depressed or can get confused, but there's something dwelling inside of you that kicks in the hour of crisis, that revives you, that moves you on. Now there's something inside of you which wasn't there before. It's that same Jesus who was with his disciples on the day of Pentecost. He came inside of them. That's why he says, he's with you, but he shall be in you. And you've got to move to that process. So the first principle is to understand that, friends. Jesus desires to be personally known by every one of his children. He wants it. And you'll never know him just by the word. You know him spirit and truth. That takes that experience of the spirit of Jesus Christ personally visiting your soul. In whatever way, whatever manifestation you want at that time. People will cry. People will do many different things. People will shout. People will speak in tongues sometimes. Whatever, that doesn't matter. That's the secondary part of it. But the most important thing, there's got to be a time in your life that Jesus Christ comes to you. To your soul. And it doesn't matter. The prophet says, once he's met you on those sacred sands, it doesn't matter. All the unbelievers in the world who will say that God is not real, the Bible's not true, they're too late now. Because you met him. You know him. Like Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. And friends, that's the most precious gift God can give to anybody. It's for you to know Jesus Christ personally for yourself. Not because your mother and your father are always cranking you up to believe it. And other people are threatening you with the tribulation period and with hell and things like that to try to keep you in line. That's okay for a season. But that's not the way God wants things to be done. God wants to bring that personal experience of the new birth to your soul. And that makes all the difference. So, the second principle. This personal revelation to your individual soul is through the visitation of the Spirit. And it produces the new birth. That is what the new birth is. The new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost are exactly the same things, friend. There's no difference between them. Listen to what the prophet says, just to confirm that. In the message, Christ is a mystery of God revealed. He says, what is the new birth then? You'll say, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Now think of that, friends. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Not just the knowledge of this. Knowledge will never bring you to a new birth. But it's a personal, spiritual experience. When Jesus Christ himself reveals himself personally to you. And that produces a new birth. That produces the new birth. He goes on to say, amen, you see. Not that you joined a church. You shook a hand. You did something different. You said a creed. You promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible, he is the word. It's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. Christ in you. Friends, that's what we need. Don't you desire that? I want to know Jesus personally. There's no person greater to know. I want to know him. And God, who was above us, came down as a man to show us who he was so that he could die for us. So that we could really know him personally. Because when he was in flesh, when it was God with us, he could only be with a limited number of people at a time. He could only be protecting his disciples and answering their questions and warning them of different things, just with his group of people. That's why Jesus said, it's expedient for you. It's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go, the Spirit's not going to come. But if I go, I'm going to send the Comforter to you. The same Spirit that's in me, he's with you now, but he's going to be in you. So that it doesn't matter what color you are, what nation you live, it doesn't matter which age that you live in. That same Jesus that shepherded his disciples, that same Jesus is in you. That you have the relationship with Christ himself. And that's why we need the Holy Ghost, friends. Because it's a spiritual experience where he meets you on those sacred sands. In your soul. And you'll never doubt the reality of who he is. Amen. Or of his love. Or that he redeemed you because you were there when it happened, friends. That's what our young people need. They don't need just to be told all the time about the message and told that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today. They need to meet him. They need to know it for themselves. That'll wean them off from Facebook and wean them off from the things of the world. Because they'll find the greatest thing that ever can be found. They find the jewel, friends, the pearl of great price. You find the treasure in a field. You're willing to sell everything for the joy of what you found. friends. That's why Moses, he esteemed the reproach of Christ. Greater riches in all the treasures of Egypt. He didn't have to be forced. Just say, Moses, come out of that heathen palace. Moses, come to church. Moses, deliver your bread. No, friends. There was a revelation of what Christ was. And he says, this is far greater than all of these riches of Egypt. And what about Paul when he says, whatever I had, my great name as a Pharisee among the Pharisees, a great student at the feet of Gamaliel, all the great things that I count them but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Friends, no one forced Paul to give up all of those things. He met Christ on the Damascus Road himself. He was there. That brought a new birth in the life of the man. That quickened him all the way to his adoption. He fulfilled what his commission was. It's exactly the same with us, friends. I don't want second-hand revelation. I don't want someone second-hand to tell me about Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to know him now. I want to know him for myself. I want to put the word to the test and say, but it says in here, Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That I can meet you today as they met you back then. And friends, I want to see that result in my life. And if we approach it the right way, you will receive it every time. Every time. Why will Jesus not reveal himself to you? That's the purpose of his existence, was to redeem you. To make himself known to you and I. But, brings us to the next principles. Number three. If you really want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have to earnestly desire him personally. Jesus says, you've got to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Then you'll be filled. If you come half-heartedly, friends, that you'd prefer to go home and watch your soap operas. You know, you enjoy just the lukewarm sort of Christian life. You'll never receive the Holy Ghost. But when you hunger and thirst, when I want him above everything else, I want to know Jesus. I'm tired of a lukewarm life. I'm tired of my ups and downs all the time. I'm tired of being overcome by the flesh and overcome by the devil and overcome by the world. I don't want that kind of life. Surely there's a reality. Surely there's something that can give me a victory inside of my life. And you desire that above all else. Solomon says, when you seek wisdom, Christ himself, more than treasures, more than the rubies, the gems of this earth, when it's the most important thing to you, friends, he who hungers and thirsts. Jesus says, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he shall be filled. But you've got to come with that attitude, friends. You've got to say, I want him more than anything. I want to know Jesus. I want a real revelation to my soul. And if you've lost your joy, if you've lost your power, if you've got yourself involved in sin, if you've been caught up in the iniquities of this world like Samson, that's what you need to bring you out of it. You need the personal revelation of Jesus Christ once again to your soul in a spiritual experience called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that'll deliver you from whatever bondages of your past, whatever the devil can throw at you in this generation. Because there's nothing more powerful than the new birth. The new birth. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to your soul. That's what the Holy Ghost was sent for, so that Jesus can personally be made known to you and dwell in you. That's what he desires. So we have to earnestly desire him personally. Not just seeking after a concept, friends. We're not just seeking after a vague concept. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? We're not just seeking after a gift. Now I want to experience this or that. But you're seeking after the giver. I'm seeking after the man, the person, Christ Jesus. I want to meet the person, Jesus, who died for me. That's what Paul met on the Damascus Road. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, who you persecute. I want to meet him. He's now in the Logos. His body that he died for us is the great sacrifice on the altar. But the Logos came back and divided itself on the day of Pentecost. And 120 had a personal experience of the Logos himself, Jesus Christ, coming into them. Friends, what could be greater than that? That's greater than riches. That's greater than honor. That's greater than a long life. That's greater than anything that God could give. Is that the God of heaven desires to dwell in you and me. He desires to personally teach us from within. He desires to personally shepherd us through this life. He didn't want to leave it to anybody else. He wants us to be within your veil, on the throne, governing your life, willingly. And friends, any believer, that's the greatest thing they could ever desire, is for Jesus to have complete control inside of their life. That's the greatest thing. Then the fourth thing, the final one, he will not pour his holy oil into a dirty vessel. No matter how much you try to seek God, if you've got sin inside of your life, if you don't approach it the right way, you're wasting your time. You can shout and you can scream. You can beat the table. You can be like the prophets of Baal. Friends, you can pray from morning to the time of the evening sacrifice. You can beat yourself on the back. You can dance around the altar until you have no more strength. You can cry until you don't have any more voice. But do not expect God to break his holy laws to bestow a blessing upon you. You've got to come at it lawfully. You've got to approach it the right way. God is more than willing to give it, friends, but you've got to approach it the right way. And anybody approaches it the right way, you're going to receive it, friends. You are going to receive it. It doesn't take long to any person who comes about it the right way. That's why the Lord said, if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found of you. That's the promise of the word of God. But you've got to come. But the double-minded man receives nothing of the Lord. If you'd prefer your football, if you'd prefer Hollywood, if you'd prefer what your friends say and the fashions of this world and fornication and the sins of the flesh, well, he's not going to give you the Holy Ghost until you come to the stage and you say, I don't want these things anymore. I want Jesus. I want the reality of Jesus Christ inside of my life. I want something real. I want to be a real believer. I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore. I don't want one face in church and another face out there. But you've got a desire. The change, the new birth. You've got to desire him, Jesus, above those things. And then you're going to meet him, friends. As sure as the world, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away, Jesus said. So, looking at this personal revelation of Jesus Christ, let me go and show you in Exodus 33. Like I say, we'll take our time a little bit here. Exodus 33, verse 18. Because this is a real important topic, friends. Because you can never receive the Holy Ghost unless you know what it is. That it's given to you. And how will you know that you've got it unless you know the results that it brings? You'll never. You'll just be seeking after some vague concept of something. But God doesn't want us to seek a concept. God wants us to seek him. That's what he wants, to seek him. Exodus 33, look at Moses. I love this chapter, the way that Moses, when he got himself into a great visitation, he went up the mountain and down came the Shekinah glory. And the Lord says to him in verse 17, Exodus 33, verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Friends, we have found grace in his sight, friends. And he knows us by name. And Moses now found, he was in the Shekinah presence. And he knew, let me speak to the Lord while he's near. And look what he asked him, verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Friends, that's what you need to pray. Jesus, show me your glory. Reveal your glory to me. Reveal yourself to me. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and will have mercy on whom I shall show mercy. 34, verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Yay. Friends, you can't tell me that Moses didn't have a spiritual experience there. The Lord draws near to him and says, Moses, you found grace before me. I know your name. And he says, Lord, if I've got access to the throne at this time, I'm asking just one thing. There's an exodus ahead of me. There's a long journey. There's the fusses of the people. There's all of the things in the wilderness. Lord, show me your glory. And the Lord says, I'll show you my glory. And then he descends down. And he passes by and he proclaims his name. And the prophet says, the new birth, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what does it bring? Verse 29 of the same chapter. Chapter 34. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Hey, God is within the veil. And he came down from that experience that when Jehovah himself proclaimed his name. And when Moses came down from there, the Shekinah was shining through this man. Hey, that's what I want, friends. When we fellowship, I want the Shekinah to flow through. I don't want it just to be men or women speaking about the issues of this day. That's a waste of time. It's not going to help us at all. But you want people that have had an experience that he shows them his glory. And you know that he's shown that person glory because the glory is shining through that person, friends. No one had to tell Moses that God is veiled in you, Moses. Moses knew I was standing in his presence. He revealed himself to me. And you can never be the same after an experience like that. You can never be the same. That's why when Israel sins, he can throw himself in the gap and say, "Rather, Lord, blot my name out of your book." The prophet said it was Christ in Moses doing those things. This wasn't the old Moses that was running away from his commission, that was getting offended with his brethren, that was saying, "Ah, that's the way they are, let them perish there in Egypt." And he turns his back on his brethren for 40 years. But this was another Moses. This was a Moses that was now equipped and fitted to fulfill his commission. Because God had personally visited this man, but he asked for this visitation. And you've got to ask, friends. Ask and you shall receive. Amen. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. Amen. Why don't you get on your knees and say to the Lord, "Lord, show me your glory. For me to run this course, for me to finish this race, for your will to be achieved in my life. I found grace in your sight. You know me by name. Father, show me your glory." Amen. I remember Brother Oliver across in England. When he first went to Brother Chikosi's church, Brother Oliver had a life of lots of ups and downs. He had backslid, he went to the world, a lot of things happened in his life. The brothers know about it. And then he got there and Brother Chikosi preached. And Brother Oliver, one day he phoned me and he said, "Brother, there's a scripture that so inspired me." He said, "It's Exodus 33, show me your glory." He says, "I've been seeking God to show me his glory." And then one day when they had the altar at the end and Brother Oliver went to the front, Brother Oliver's... It was actually caught on film, and Brother Oliver keeps that DVD and he keeps it in his Bible. And he said, "Brother, I had such an experience with God." He says, "I can never doubt the third pull. I can never doubt those things because I met him." He said, he showed me his glory. He says, "And I've never been the same." And I believe that if you come at it lawfully and you come at it with all your heart and you're asking him, "Father, show me your glory." I'm not asking for gifts and those things. Let those things take care of themselves afterwards if that's what you have for me. But I want you. Show me your glory. And what is the glory? The glory of God is in Jesus Christ. And then he wants to transfer his glory, that his glory is in his people. And that's what happened there with Moses. That experience was shining through. The prophet says everything that Moses lacked was in the burning bush. For him to fulfill his commission. That which was in the pillar of fire when it came into Moses, he had everything that he required to fulfill his commission. And that's all that you and I need, friends, to make it to the end of this journey, is this great pillar of fire that overshadowed the prophet. The great pillar of fire that met Paul on the way to Damascus. Let that same pillar of fire, when it draws near to you, you just ask him, "Lord, with all my heart, show me your glory. Reveal yourself to me. Proclaim your name to me. Change me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me with your glory, that I might serve and worship you in an acceptable way." Amen. And that's why his face shone with the glory of God. Now, friends, the most important principle about this is you've got a hunger and thirst for him. You've got a hunger and thirst for him. And any believer who's ever even had a taste of the Spirit, who's ever even just had something which has just passed your way of the revelation of Jesus Christ, you will never be the same. Amen. You found the fountains of living water. Yes, you can go and try to drink from the broken cisterns after that. They're never going to satisfy you because you've tasted of something. But you've got a hunger and thirst for righteousness, for that experience. Not seeking feelings and sensations and emotions. That's the problem with us who came from Pentecost. You see, we're waiting for some manifestation. We're waiting for some supernatural power to manifest itself. That can happen. Yes, those are wonderful things. But that's not what you're seeking. You're seeking to know Jesus. To meet Jesus himself. Amen. And you're not going to be satisfied with anything else. Because people speak in tongues but don't know Jesus. Amen. In Mishawaka, remember that man, he spoke in tongues, other interpreter. The man was living with a woman that wasn't his wife and had two children through her. Gifts are fine, friends, but gifts don't bring you to adoption. Gifts don't bring the new birth. Amen. What brings a new birth is the personal experience of Jesus Christ revealing himself to your soul through the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That brings a new birth. And then he can lead you from there and give you gifts and give you manifestations. And lead you. Maybe you've got a ministry of praying for the sick. Maybe you've got a ministry of evangelism, whatever. Those things will take care of themselves. That's why the prophet says when those brothers came to him and said, Brother Bram, we just received the Holy Ghost. Should we seek for gifts? He says, never seek for gifts. You'll become a puffed shirt. If God has anything for you, he knows how to get it to you. But first meet him. Get the giver first. Get him first. Know Jesus yourself personally. That I know him. And then everything else is going to take care. Because now you've got the shepherd in you. Now you've got the new birth in you. Now you can handle the gifts. You can handle the power. You can handle the authority. Because he's put himself in there. He's enthroned himself inside of there. And the prophet also encountered that all the time. Especially with the Pentecostal people. When he was trying to teach them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, their mind would go straight to speaking in tongues. And those kind. Now, many people do speak in tongues. That's a wonderful gift of the Spirit. The prophet says, if you lay long enough at the altar, and baptism after baptism strikes you, you will speak in tongues. That's a wonderful experience for people. But that's not exactly. You can have that, but not have him. Paul said, I can speak with the tongues of men and angels, and still have not charity. I don't want that. I want him, and then everything else is going to take care of itself. I want him and anything else that he's going to bring. But the most important thing to the soul of a believer is to know Jesus. Personally to know Jesus. Because when there's sickness in the home, when there's misfortune, when things go completely 180 degrees the way they shouldn't, according to your own reckoning. Friends, gifts are fine, but you need to know him at those times. You need a personal walk with Christ that is going to shepherd you through the valley and take you to the hilltop. You got to know him at those kind of times. You don't want an outside teacher at those times. You want him in here. Personally, when the doctor says to you, there's nothing more that we can do. Friends, you need to know him. You need a personal, beyond the veil experience with Christ. That you can just get yourself quiet and shut yourself in with him once again. And he starts to minister from within. And he starts to say, be of good cheer, Paul. All is well. Or whatever he wants to speak to your soul. But you need him in there to take you through those kind of times. Also, the evangelistic way. If an evangelist preaches on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's all the power. And it's all the miracles. And that's fine. That comes with it. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. But we're speaking of the Spirit itself. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. But we want the Spirit himself first. And then those things take care of themselves. Now, the prophet says, and what is the Holy Ghost? Paragraph 4. This he gives when he preached the Holy Ghost series. This is his objective. Listen what he says. It sounds simple, but this is a key. He says, we are trying to bring our people into a better fellowship with Christ. That is our purpose. Why did he preach the Holy Ghost series? To try to bring his people into better fellowship with Christ. Don't you want better fellowship with Christ? You're not going to get it any other way. You go and ask him. You go and approach him the right way. Jesus, I want better fellowship with you. I want to know you better. And friends, I really do believe that's a prayer that he answers. Now, God so cared for his children, like we said, that he never was going to leave it in the hands of anybody else. In the Old Testament, he was God above them. He so loved Israel, he separated them. He came with it beyond the veil and he put the tabernacle right in the midst of his people. God showing his desire to be with his people. And God was right there. They could see the cloud by day. They could see the pillar of fire by night. But there was a people that saw God the other side of the veil and they perished in the wilderness. They perished in the wilderness, showing that's not the way that God wants it to be. That's old covenant worship. We can see God veiled in a prophet. We can see God veiled in the other people. But you can still perish in the wilderness. You look at the history of Israel. They were completely overcome many times by idol worship. Although they had God in the temple right in the midst of Jerusalem. Yet the gods of the nations round and about them enticed them many times. There were how many times were they deceived by false prophets? Multitudes of times. That's how when God looked at that system of things, he says, this isn't perfection. Because the moment God is the other side of the veil, you're still vulnerable. We've said it many times. When God is the other side of a veil, he's not within your veil. You're very vulnerable. Your sins are going to find you out. Your weaknesses are going to overcome you. The devil's going to do something to you. So God says, that's not what I want. God above us is good. I've revealed myself, I've made myself known, I've revealed my righteousness through the law. But then God says, no, I want to come closer to the people. And then it became God in us, Emmanuel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would have thought that was the greatest thing that God could ever do to a person, was to send Jesus himself, God in flesh, to shepherd them. But it still wasn't enough, because the disciples were scattered, even though Jesus was their shepherd. Many times they were deceived. And Jesus had to say, but don't you people understand? They had no oneness with Jesus, Brother Ram said. They had no oneness with him, because the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Counselor, was the other side of the veil in Jesus. It wasn't yet in them. And that's why Jesus had to watch them as a hen does the chickens all the time, because they were still very vulnerable as the disciples. They were deceived by Judas. None of them knew that Judas was false. Can you see the condition that they were in? And you and I would have thought to say, the greatest thing that I would desire is if Jesus would come and live in my house all the time. That would be wonderful. Amen. But it's still not a guarantee you're going to get there to the end of the journey. You can get stumbled along the way. So Jesus said, it's expedient, it's to your advantage. It's important for you that I go. Because if I don't go, God is only going to be veiled in one man. But if I go, the same one that's in me, this comforter, this advocate, this helper, this intercessor, this guide, this tutor, that's in me, that's ministering to you from this side of the veil, he needs to come in you. And that's why God in us was the whole aim of God's redemption. That's the aim of it all. Jesus came so that the veil could be rent in two. So there was no more veil between God and man. Because God knew that worship from the other side of the veil, it's Old Testament worship. Look in Jeremiah chapter 31, when it speaks of the covenant. God speaking about giving them a new covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. The prophets knew the day was coming, that there was something far greater than God with us, or God above us. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. It says, behold, the day is come, saith the Lord. I like that. The future. There's a day coming. Amen. And every believer is like that. No, you hear the message at first. You get an intellectual knowledge of a lot of things. God does. You're forgiven. You've had a justified experience. You've been sanctified of a lot of things. But you still don't have power to live the way that you should. You still overcome all the time. You're up and down. Sometimes you want to be serving God. Sometimes you don't. You know, you don't have a constancy inside of yourself. You don't have a consistency inside of your life. But then the day comes. Behold, the day comes. It's a day that comes. And that's what the Lord is saying. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Why? That was God above them. And look what he says. Which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. God was so faithful to them to feed them with manna, give them water from the smitten rock, to give them a brazen altar as an atonement, to send them prophets, to do everything he could. But under the old covenant, before the blood of perfection, Christ was shed, there was a veil. And God was the other side of the veil. And I've given a drama of it before, and you'd find the man, and here he comes, and he's got guilt inside of his soul. And he's been overcome by his nature and by his weaknesses once again. And the man, he comes now to the tabernacle, and he comes to the priest, and he brings his sacrifice, and he says, I've sinned again. I've done it again. And the priest says, God has a provided way. Lay your hand on the offering. And he'd lay his hands on an innocent sacrifice and confess his sins. And they would take the blood and pour it at the base of the altar and put the kidneys and the different things as a burnt offering. And the smoke would go up and God would look through the smoke and forgive the man of his sin. And the man would be justified. And the prophet says, God would meet him in the forgiveness of sin. And he'd have an experience. And he knew, God forgave me. And while he was in the presence of the Shekinah there at the tabernacle, my, how wonderful the man felt. He felt like he could dance and jump and leap over a wall because Jehovah had ministered grace to him. But then came maybe the evening time when it was time for him to go back home again, and he has to go out of the tabernacle. And every step that he's taken a step away from the Shekinah glory. Every step that he's taken, he's leaving the glory the other side of the veil. And by the time he gets home now, he's just himself again. It's just brother so-and-so. There's nothing behind the veil. And just a matter of time, he's going to be doing the same thing again. And then he's got to come back, and he's on the death walk, and he's coming to confess his sins once again. And brother, I'm sorry, I committed adultery again. I didn't want to be unfaithful to my wife. Yes, God will forgive you, my friend, but why live a defeated life? When there's a new birth that can set you free. There's the baptism of the Holy Ghost will give you power to live a holy life, the prophet says. Why? Why have an old covenant kind of worship that you come to church and the Lord comes down and you feel all condemnations gone, like the prophet says. You feel wonderful and you go home and you say, hey, that was wonderful. The Lord ministered to me. And then Monday, Tuesday, you're pulling a dirty deal. Wednesday, you're looking at dirty things on your computer. Friday, you're chatting up the girls of the world or the boys of the world, or you're listening to worldly music again, or you're watching things that you shouldn't watch. How long should we go in that cycle, friends, of old covenant worship? That's Old Testament worship. Because you're leaving God the other side of the veil. God's veiled in other people. They create an atmosphere for you. But God wants you to have that atmosphere with you all the time. God wants that Shekinah that visits you when you gather together two or three in his name. Not to be left behind at church when you go. He wants that which is with you to be in you, he said. Amen. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Ghost. So that when you go back to your town, or you go back to your college, wherever you go, friends, there's something inside of there. There's something real. There's the personal presence of Jesus Christ dwelling inside of you. And that's what the new covenant was about. Look what he says in verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. You don't have to be cranking people. You young people, stop with the worldly things on Facebook. Why are you putting the worldly fashions when you're away from church? You brothers, why are you continually doing these things? No, that's an outward law like Israel had. Moses comes down with the laws on stone. And he's telling the people. And they get a knowledge of what sin is. But God is the other side of the veil. And they still have the same design. They go from there. Maybe they come to church. Pastor Moses is preaching about the perfection of the law that day. And God comes and anoints his truth. And every person there, they say, this is the truth. And when Moses says, thou shalt not commit adultery, they all say, amen, brother. And in the presence of the Shekinah, it's wonderful. But the moment they leave there and they go back out there to rubbing shoulders with the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and all of those, they've left God the other side of the veil. So now they've got a knowledge of what's right and wrong, but they don't have power to be able to live it. And friends, that's many people in the message. Many people, they know what's right or wrong, but there's nothing in them to empower them to live what they believe. And that's what the Holy Ghost was given for. That God can come in there to write the law, to take the word, not from tables of stone, but he wants to write it in your heart. Amen. If the word is written in your heart, the Logos, the word himself has come into you. How can you disagree with the word? When that Shekinah, the word himself, is dwelling in you. Friends, you can never disagree with the word. You will say, that's wonderful. Amen. David says, I delight in the law of God. Yes, your flesh, like I always say, may pull you down sometimes because you'll be tired, you get a headache, you get sick, whatever. You know, we have the ups and downs of the flesh. But inside of your soul, when there's a new birth, the new birth says amen to every precept of God's word. Because it's not you. It's the word in you. It's Christ, Jesus himself. The word is in you. That's why you don't have to persuade people. And that's why many of the questions that we get about hair and dress and these things. You know what the prophet says? He says in questions and answers, some sister asked him a question of how long sleeves should be on her blouse. It's a good question. Listen how the prophet answers. He says, I think being a Christian, God will tell you what to do about those things. The vast majority of things, friends, if Christ is in the veil, he'll reveal to you what's right and wrong. Because you've got the word in you. And he will show you that, I don't think it's beneficial for me to spend time with these people. I don't think I should be doing these things on the internet. I mean, you don't need somebody else, your mother, your father, Brother Wilmore, somebody else all the time to be chasing you up on those things. That's what the new birth is. So that he can write his law in the inward parts. So that you have the word in you. It's in you. And you'll say, amen, that's the truth. And look what it continues on there in that verse 33. It says, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. My. And look at the next verse. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. No more coming all the time at the family altar to your children. You know, Jesus is the best person in the world. You know, if only you could know Jesus, he's the greatest person. And Brother George is there at home on the family altar, and all the different brothers, and they're trying to persuade everybody all the time to say, the greatest thing you can follow is Jesus. You see, what are you doing? You're trying to tell them, know the Lord. But under the new covenant, when this covenant comes into effect in your life, you don't need anybody to come and tell you anymore you need to know the Lord. Because you know the Lord. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, the revelation personally of Jesus Christ to your soul. He says you'll no more at that time have to go and tell everyone all the time, know the Lord, know the Lord. Look what he says. For they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. That's the new covenant. If you're a New Testament believer, you know the Lord. You know Jesus is real. You know the Bible is true. Every word is true. Doesn't matter what science so-called says, like Paul says in the Bible, about evolution and stuff. Now they say we didn't come from a monkey, we came from a shark. Did you see that 2 weeks ago? We came from a shark. Friends. Those are sharks who tell us those kind of things to tell the truth. We didn't come from a monkey or from a shark. We're the sons and daughters of God. We came through the power of the spoken word in Eden. And we're going out of here through the power of the spoken word as well, friends. And we're going to put on perfection like Adam had in the beginning, even greater than Adam, because of the power of the spoken word, friends. And how can you doubt it if he's in you? But you've got to have the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to meet him personally. So there can be a transference that he's not just with you, but he's in you. That he's not just in your father and your mother, your Sunday school teacher, your husband, your wife, but he's in you. He's not with you only. He's now come into at that day you shall know. And friends, that's really what we desire to know for each and every one of us. And we need to be patient with people, obviously. If somebody hasn't ever really met Christ and know him the way that they should, we need to be patient with them, like Jesus was patient with his disciples. When they were dunderheads most of the time, like us, and made all of their mistakes and didn't understand. And Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they're saying, why did he say that? Doesn't mean that we should have brought more bread. They weren't the smartest of guys spiritually sometimes. But the other side of Pentecost, Jesus knew what they were going to do. And they turned the world upside down when he that was with them came in them. And he led them now all the way to the adoption. So you've got to come to the stage. Look in John chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. If you want to really get some nice Bible reading when you're not sure what to read in the Bible, just read John 14, 15, 16. And see how many times Jesus, this is at the Last Supper. This is him, his last discourse with his disciples before he's going to go. How many times he speaks to them about the Comforter. How many times? Look in John chapter 14, we'll start. We'll read a couple of scriptures here. Won't take much longer. John 14, verse 15 and 16. Look at the conditions now as we get if you're wanting to receive the Holy Ghost. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Keep his commandments. Love him. The greatest advice I ever heard someone say was, if I want to receive the Holy Ghost, what should I do? Fall in love with Jesus. That's it. Just love him. Just love him. Say, Jesus, I love you. I want to know you more. I want the reality of who you are. It's not fear that gets you there. This isn't Mount Sinai. This is Mount Zion. That's the covenant that we're under. The best thing is if you love him, if you keep his commandments, when he speaks to you, obey. You know, I read something interesting the other day. We read it at home. I was speaking to the single brothers yesterday at Brother George's house about that scripture there. When it says that Jesus, when he saw Peter and Andrew in the boats, remember? And it says, and he said, follow me. And it says, and straightway they left their nets and they came and followed Jesus. You see, straightway. When the word came to them, straightway. And that's why they prospered. But the problem with us, the word will come to us. The anointed truth comes and corrects us. The Lord wants to show us the reason I can't bless you any further, or the reason that you've lost what you had, is you've got to remove this from your life. You've got to repent of that. You've got to go and make this right with your wife. You've got to go and make this right with brother so-and-so. And while you're in the presence of the Shekinah, when the word is dealing with you, you've got to respond, friends. But what the word does, it convinces us that we need to do it. And then we don't do it. We don't straight away go and do what the word says. And you wonder why the blessing doesn't come. But we need to be like Peter and John and like Levi when the Lord said to him at the receipt of taxes, follow me. And straight away, he followed Jesus. Straight away, he responded to the word. And if you really want the Holy Ghost, the prophet says, full obedience to the word entitles you to the token and nothing else, he says. That's not the laws we're speaking about, but there's certain things like in your life now and mine the Lord is dealing with us about. We know it. You know inside of yourself, the Lord is dealing with me on this. Now there's different reactions we can have. We can resist it. We can hate the person who's telling it to us. We can do any manner of things. But if the word is dealing with you, if the commandment is coming on a certain aspect of your life, if you really want the revelation of Jesus Christ again, if you want power and glory in your life once again, obey. Obey. Straight away, obey. If you know that my weakness is worldly magazines, go home straight away and burn all those magazines or throw them in the bin. If you know my weakness, what's stealing my joy, what I'm worshiping is computer games, straight away leave your computer games and seek his face. But you've got to obey. Because he's not going to do anything further for you in the line of revelation unless you're faithful to what he's already revealed to you. And if you're not going to be faithful in the little, he's not going to come and manifest the great thing to you. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. And the Bible says his commandments are not grievous to his sons and daughters. God doesn't put great burdens on us. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'll give you rest for your soul. Friends, it's not difficult. But there's a stubbornness inside of some people. A stubbornness that they want to do it their way. Friends, that's the greatest thing that's going to hold you back. Because he's never going to come on the throne if you want the throne. But when you're willing to relinquish the throne, he more than is willing to come in. He's never going to shepherd you if you want to shepherd yourself. If you think you're the real one who knows how to do things, he can't shepherd you. But when you step off the throne, or you step off that role in life of being your own shepherd, making all your own decisions and doing things the way that you desire, and you don't want to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ like Paul was, don't expect the glory. Don't expect him to take you any further than that. And that is the stumbling block of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because the Lord will draw near to you and deal faithfully with your soul. And want to bring you through a process of preparation to lay aside that which is unnecessary. And to seek him with all your heart. But it's easy to resist. It's easy to put the word in another place or leave and get involved in other things. And not let the momentum that God is trying to build inside of your life to sanctify you and prepare you and bring you to those sacred sands. You don't let the process run its full course. And then you get back in the wilderness again. And next year again, you're back to the same stage. I don't think the Lord wants us to be like that, friends. I don't think that's really what Jesus died for. Jesus said, verse 25, chapter 14, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Comforter. You know what the other meanings of that word Comforter are? The Comforter is the Counselor. He gives you counsel. When you don't know how to handle a situation at home, you don't know how to handle a situation at work. Friends, if you're really in the Spirit, if Christ is in you, you don't need to be phoning somebody else so much for help. You have the counsel in you. Yes, for big complicated things, you need advice, you need counsel. Don't get me wrong. But if you have the counselor in you, he'll give you counsel. Just get quiet before him. Just let him speak to you. And it's the same Jesus that would give counsel to his disciples. It's the same one in you who's going to give you counsel as well. He's the counselor. The next thing, he's the helper. Friends, we need help all the time spiritually. We can't do this on our own. We can't do this through the willpower of mortality. You don't make it to the end of the road like that. The Bible says we don't even know how to pray as we ought. But you need something you to quicken you to pray according to the will of God. And then you're going to pray. The prophet says, if you find someone who can never get a prayer answered, let them receive the Holy Ghost and watch how their prayer starts to get answered. They now have power to prevail with God like Jacob did, because there's a quickening in your prayer. He's your intercessor. He's your advocate. What is your advocate? Someone who pleads on your behalf. When you're in the court and someone's accusing you and the devil's accusing you, something steps up to plead for you. That's what an advocate is. That's what the Holy Ghost is. He's your strengthener. And he's your standby. He's always there. He's your best friend. He's all that you need. He's the one who sticks closer than a brother. He feeds your soul. He guides you day and night. When you think you can't take it anymore, he quickens you. Revives you once again. When the word is preached, he's the one who interprets it to you. He's the one who reveals you. When you don't know where to read, he leads you to where you should read. When you don't know what to say, he's the one that gives you the words. If you're in the spirit, you don't have to think too much on those things. So let's just finish off that great provision that God made. So there's an approach to these things, like we said. Let's just read Matthew 5, verse 6. Matthew 5, verse 6. This is what Jesus is saying. We've quoted it a few times, but it's good to read it from the Bible. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall, absolutely shall be filled. But the problem is when we don't hunger and thirst. But a real believer hungers and thirsts for reality. The prophet preached a message called the unfailing realities of the living God. Don't you want that? I want the unfailing realities of the living God in my experience. I don't want a second-hand experience all the time. Somebody else to be telling me how glorious Christ is, or that, you know, God still answers prayer. I want that personally for myself. And it's the Holy Ghost that does it for you, friends. Let's read John chapter 7, verse 37. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Friends, hey, don't you thirst? This world makes you thirsty, friends. Being out there in Laodicea, it makes you thirst in your soul. What an invitation. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Hey, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Don't you love to fellowship with people like that? That the fellowship, it's living water. It refreshes your soul. It encourages you once again. That's a person who you're fellowshipping with, someone who's got the spirit in them. Because he says in the next verse, but this he spake of the spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Friends, how wonderful it is to have a resource inside of you that can flow forth with life-giving resources of Zoe life. That's what we need. Sometimes, friends, we get down and this and then it doesn't seem to be there. But just lay yourself before the Lord. Just praise, worship him once again and see how it starts to bubble up once again. You know, he was with you, but he shall be in you. Now, in John chapter 14, we've already read what Jesus said about keeping the commandments. The prophet says, paragraph 13, the Holy Ghost series. This was the approach that he said to his people of how to receive the Holy Ghost. He says, the other night, a little around after midnight, we've read it many times, the wife and I, after sitting up and praying and talking to the Lord across the little footstool in our front room with two open Bibles, we consecrated ourselves anew to God for complete service. That we would surrender our own wills and everything and every negative thought to serve the Lord Jesus. He says, and I trust that's been your attitude too. That you've done the same thing. That when we're coming tonight, we're coming upon holy ground. You receive the Holy Ghost on holy ground, friends. You're never going to receive the Holy Ghost on unholy grounds. If you've got defilement in your life, you've got to get it out first. If you got sin, if you got relationships that are wrong, if you got unconfessed sin, don't ask him, because he's not going to give it. It's just emotion. Whatever takes place is emotion. And if he anoints you, you're going to be a false anointed one, and you don't want to be that. First, you've got to clean your life out. You've got to reconsecrate yourself. You've got to confess every negative thought. And the Bible says if you confess, he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And sometimes you've got to search your house. You've got to search your life. And you've got to see, but these things are displeasing to the Lord. Sometimes you've got to look through your phone and know that these people are holding me back from my adoption, from a deeper walk with Christ. Sometimes you've got to look at your habits of how you spend your time and the things that you do. And that's going to explain to you why the great God of heaven, who so desires to make himself known, is not able to make himself better known to you, because you put other things ahead of him. But the moment you get to the time, friends, that you desire him above everything, it's not going to take long. It's not going to take long. He's going to come pouring in there. He's going to reveal himself to your soul in whichever way that he wants. And that's why the prophet never preached the message about how to receive the Holy Ghost and how to know that you got it. Because he didn't want to say you got to have this experience, because it's not like that, because God deals with an individual. But every individual have the same testimony. I met Jesus Christ. If you cry, if you shout, like Ron says, you may see lights, you may see some manifestation. That's wonderful, whatever happens. But as long as you meet him. Whatever manifestation comes from meeting him, that's fine, friends. If you want to run and dance and jump and skip, whatever you want to do, that's great. If you just want to sit there and cry because of the glory of his grace and his mercy, that's fine. That's wonderful, whatever it is. But as long as you meet him, as long as you meet him, that's going to make all the difference. The prophet says, we're coming upon holy ground among a people who's been praying. You'll never get there without prayer. You've got to pray. You've got to ask. You've got to seek. You've got to desire. And prayer prepares you. Because a sinning man stops praying. And a praying man stops sinning. And as you draw near to him, he starts to draw near to you. And he starts to show you and sanctify you. Do different things in your life. Who's been praying and fasting? Why would you need to fast? Because sometimes there's going to be things that just your normal prayer is not going to get rid of. Like Jesus said, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. There's going to be habits and spirits and things that are binding in your life and are holding you back. And your normal prayer life's not breaking through. You can come, friends, and stand in front of the prayer line every day of the week. That's not it. Sometimes you've got to fast. You've got to do an extra consecration to seek his face. And this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. And some of those things that are holding you back, some of those demons of doubt and criticism and whatever, lust and different perversions, you find they leave. And you sanctify it now. Now you can come on holy ground. You've prayed, you've fasted. He says, making restitution. If you've stolen people's money and it's in your pocket, don't ask for the Holy Ghost. Go and pay back the money that you owe. God doesn't give the Holy Ghost to thieves, to robbers, liars, and adulterers. You've got to put your sins under the blood. Christ died for all of those things. But friends, if you've got hypocrisy in your life, God doesn't give the Holy Ghost to hypocrites. Repent of your hypocrisy. You've got a desire no longer to be a hypocrite. You can't change yourself. He's going to bring a new birth to change you, but you've got to acknowledge your iniquities. You've got to be honest and open about things. The prophet says you've got to burn those bridges. You can't say that I've repented of. Imagine a brother, he gets on his computer and he gets in a chat. And he's chatting filthy things with some woman the other side of the world, yeah? And then he says, I've done wrong, I've confessed. And he keeps that number there on his Skype or whatever on his computer. Is that repentance? That's a false repentance. Burn your bridges, friends. Get rid of those things out of your life. So the devil can't use those things again. But the problem is we keep the idols nearby. We keep the bridges back to our past. And you wonder why we can never go on with God. Friends, God so desires to be real. But we need to be real with God. And if you seek it properly and approach it the right way, the prophet says, an approach to this birth. And when God sees you've come on holy ground and you're hungering and you're thirsting and you've put him as first priority in your life, friends, God is going to come down from heaven the way that he came down in the Garden of Eden, because his sons and his daughters there looking for him. And he's going to come and he's going to minister exactly what it is that we need. He says, making restitutions and getting ready to receive something from God. And I know that he that will come hungry will not go away hungry, but God will feed him with the bread of life. Friends, wonderful promises. And if you're really seeking for that experience with Christ, you're speaking for a breakthrough, keep feeding your soul on his promises. Amen. Take the Holy Ghost series. Like we say, when Brother Charlie Cox, when he was seeking for the Holy Ghost, listen to his testimony. The prophet had just preached super sense. Remember, faith is the sixth sense, super sense. And he told Brother Charlie, he says, Brother Charlie, just keep listening to that message. And Brother Charlie kept listening to that message and listening, getting out in the woods and praying. And then Brother Ram said to him, Brother Charlie, the Holy Ghost is all over you. Just open up and let him in. And then you find a message just a little bit down the way. Brother Ram says, we heard a good report this morning. Brother Charlie Cox just received the Holy Ghost, if you're going to read your message. But you've got to keep feeding yourself and sanctifying yourself with the power of the truth of the word. And keep yourself separated. Walk a consecrated walk. Be sensitive. If he tells you to make something right, do it immediately. And friends, it doesn't take long. God will be defeating his own purpose if it takes long. You can't. You can't live like that forever, fasting and praying every single day. You can only do it for a season. But if you do it with all your heart and meet him, then life goes back to normal again. But now he's in you. He that was with you, now he's in you. So this is our inheritance. In Acts chapter 1, it says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he says in, what is the Holy Ghost given for? Paragraph 103. Oh my, I was talking on power. Power of prayer. Power of speech. Power for a holy life. That's what the Holy Ghost brings. Power in prayer. Friends, how many times do you get up and you don't really feel like praying? I've had it so many times. You get in the study, you close the door, you just really don't feel really good that day. Let me just pray a little bit to the Lord. And you come out an hour later. Friends, and it's so glorious. And he's, but where did that prayer come from? That was not me. How many times do those things happen? He says, some of you people walking along saying, well, I just can't quit drinking. I just can't quit this. The Holy Ghost comes to live in you to make all of these can'ts get away from you. But I can't overcome my nature. I was born like that. But I can't overcome this. I can't. The Holy Ghost comes and takes the can'ts out of your life. Because he can. You can't, but he can. He will come and live in you and walk in you. And he will be your God. And you will be his children. He says, that's what it's for. To make you live a holy life. And if you break in your marriage vows, friends, you need the Holy Ghost. How can you say you got the Holy Ghost and you can go all the way and commit adultery? I understand someone who's got the Holy Ghost can be tempted. Yes, you might make a mistake and say the wrong thing to somebody. But you actually arrange to meet up with somebody. Hey, maybe the next day in a hotel or whatever it is. And the Holy Ghost in you is going to allow you to sleep all night in your house with your wife next to you. And go all the day through the next day. And still, you go and do it. Friends, I question your new birth. I question your new birth. The prophet says, my Holy Ghost wouldn't let me do that. You might have dirty thoughts and different things. Yes, that's mortality. We need to confess those things. But to actually be able to go all the way through, methodically planning it all the way to the end and do that act. Friends, where's the Holy Ghost in your life? What Holy Ghost do you have? You may have seen angels, you may have been like Jacob and seen a ladder between heaven and earth and all those things, but you're still Jacob. You need a new birth to make you into an Israel, because you're going to still be cheating your brother and doing all those things, despite all the things that you speak about, the experiences you had. We're speaking of something that brings a birth, a change. You shall receive power, the Bible says, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The prophet says power in prayer, power in speech, power to live a holy life. Friends, that's what the Holy Ghost was given for. The prophet says, it'll follow the instructions of the Bible every time. Friends, don't you want that? Something inside of you that just leads you to do things and later on you read it, that, oh, that's the way it should be done. Amen. Makes you live according to the word, because he says, I'll write my laws on their hearts. Amen. Just finishing this quote and we finished. It'll follow the word just exactly right. That's what the Holy Ghost is to do. It's to make you men turn your heads from them half-naked women and quit lusting after them. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It gives you a power to say no to the devil, whereas before you couldn't say no. It'll make you quit smoking and drinking and wanting to be a big shot. Wanting to be a big shot, it makes a man humble. Because you realize it's grace. And Christ was the fullness of the Godhead, was humble. And he was meek. And he was a lamb. So it's going to make you the same. Quit wanting to be a big shot. It'll take that out of you. It'll humble you when you do that. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. Friends, what a wonderful promise. Would you mind if we take one more scripture? Let's read one more. Galatians 4 and finish up this question. This is now the capstone, the prophet said, on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 4, 4 and 6. One quote, one scripture, one quote, and we're done. Galatians 4, we read from 4 to 6. Look what Paul says. Paul says, Galatians 4, from 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Why? That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Hey, friends, this is a wonderful scripture because it shows every son and daughter of God will receive the Holy Ghost. It's the inheritance of every one of God's children. Look what it says. Let's read it again, verse 6. And because you are sons, the prophet says the Holy Ghost doesn't make you a son. But because you are sons, God pours the Holy Ghost into you. Because God will be defeating his own plan. He wants in this age a fivefold ministry. He wants gifts of the Spirit. He wants men and women that live the word. So what does he do? He scatters his seed through the ages. Then in due season, he sends down the Holy Ghost to water the seed so they can bring forth what Christ ordained them to bring forth. That's what it is. It's the power that God puts in your life, the quickening, that leads you to your adoption. You'll automatically find your position in time in the body of Christ. You'll automatically, because you're a son, you're a seed of Abraham. So he pours forth the Holy Ghost, the spirit of adoption into you to lead you to adoption. You receive the tutor who's going to watch you now all the way to make sure you get there. Now listen, from Church Age Book 153, we'll finish with that. The prophet says, now comes our triumphal capstone on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he reads the scripture. He says, this is the capstone. He says, wherefore thou art no more servant. There it is. Jesus Christ came forth, died upon the cross, and accomplished redemption, and therefore placed us as sons. We weren't even born yet, friends. But Christ paid the full price of redemption. That's why the Lamb's Book of Life, God doesn't trust with any man. It's the Lamb alone who can take that book. So imagine how much more does God want us to get to the end of the journey. That's why he gives us the Holy Ghost. He doesn't trust any man to get us there. Redemption, that's his personal work that he's going to do. He says, and therefore he placed us as sons. He did not make us sons, for we were already his sons. But he placed us as sons. Yeah? For as long as we're in the world, in the flesh, we could not be recognized as his sons. We were held captive by the devil, but we were his sons, nevertheless. And hear this, then it's all in capital letters in your book. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Upon whom did the spirit fall at Pentecost? At Corinth? Upon sons. Upon sons when they heard the word. You see what it is? The word of promise comes. Something rises up inside of you. You yield to that word. God pours his life into you. You bring forth the life that you're supposed to bring forth. What is the baptism with the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. It is the new birth. It is the Spirit of God coming in and filling you after you have repented, after you have heard His word and been baptized in water as the answer of a good conscience towards God. Friend, the Holy Ghost is the inheritance of every one of the elect. It's your inheritance. 100% it's for you, sons and daughters of God. Everyone, if you never received the Holy Ghost, it's there for you. You just approach it the right way, friends. It doesn't take long. The longest you find in the book of Acts that somebody waited was 10 days. You can read your book of Acts. 10 days they tarried in the upper room, waiting for the day of Pentecost. But the house of Cornelius, they were prepared vessels. When Peter preached the word to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them there and then. You can see what it is. He finds those Ephesian believers that had been baptized by John. As soon as they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he laid his hands, the Holy Ghost came on them. Friends, it's not a difficult thing, though, surely. Am I missing something? I'm sorry to say. I'm not missing anything, I don't think. I just know from my own experience, whenever I get serious with God, I meet Him, friends. It doesn't take long. When I set Him as my first priority, it doesn't take long to get myself back in orbit with Him once again and Him to be revealing Himself to my soul. And that is my desire for every single one. There's many people here that have the Holy Ghost. But maybe we need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you lost the joy of your salvation. Maybe the journey has been too long and you're getting discouraged. Why don't you seek the giver once again? Let's seek Jesus again. Say, Jesus, show me your glory. Reveal yourself to me once again. The journey is long, Lord. I need a fresh revelation of your glory to take me through. And to those people that are living old covenant lives of the law, that God is the other side of the veil, don't let it stay like that. Seek Him. Hunger and thirst for it. Be obedient to what His word says and to the leadership that He puts inside of your life. Burn your bridges. Come onto holy ground. And every time you come on holy ground, you're going to meet Him. Let's stand. Let's sing a song, friends, and we come to a time of prayer today. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. As I say, this is a personal thing. The prophet says, these aren't things that you persuade people into and say, you must do this. And like the Pentecostals do, say, la, 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 la. It's not those kind of things, friends. This is God's work. And if God has spoken to your soul, you just respond. And you just keep following Him. Because the deep calls to the deep. And if there's a deep that's speaking to you, there's a deep out there that's going to respond to that deep. But you just keep following His leadership. And He's going to lead you all the way.
My faith looks to be yeah.
End of the song, let's come to a time of prayer. You just consecrate yourself to the Lord. And could I encourage you, friends, that if you really feel you need to pray through to seek God, maybe we'll have to go from here today. But friends, the church is always open to those who want it. Brothers, come and pray on Tuesday night here as well. There's prayer meeting in the church on a Wednesday. Make opportunity and redeem the time and call upon Him while He's near. And I believe if you hunger and you thirst, you're going to find Him. Sing one more song of saints before we go. We'll ask Brother Francois then to come and pray for us to dismiss. Let's sing again about the original life. Because that is what we need, isn't it? It's the original life. We don't need anything new. Especially to a believer. You might have got away from the Lord, but friends, you don't need something new. You need the original. To rebuild your original altar like Abraham did. Get yourself back to the place where you first met him. And you'll find he's the same yesterday and forever. He's never changed. We change, but he never changes. Let's sing that song. Then we ask Brother Francois at the end of the song to come and dismiss us. And by the grace of God, let's meet 10:30 Saturday, Wednesday night special prayer meeting for the weekend's meetings. Please come along. Invite your friends. Invite people for the weekend. Let's ask the Lord to really bless us as we gather in his name.
Original seed, the original word, it's what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seven seas unveiled, the original life, the original seed. To his brightest last age, we have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are is up for. Praise the Lord for the original life, the original life. The original seed, the original word, is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seven seas unveiled, the original life, the original seed. The Word made flesh today, this is what the Scriptures say, and our names are sin within, redeemed, perfect without our sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired by our God. original sin. The original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seven sin is unveiled. The original life. The original sin. Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last. And sweet victory is ours, we were chained out in the past. Should you believe, have sounded, and we have responded to our goal. With the original seed, the original word is what I believe. Oh, the Son of Man is revealed. The seven seals unveiled. The original life, the original seed. We are called to adoption. Full authority and power, sweeping saints who wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentile days will be over, and glory, hallelujah, to our God. Who's the original light, the original light. The original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed. The seven sins are here. The original life. The original sin.
Let's bow our heads.
Father, once again, we come humbly before thy presence to thank you for your presence was among us, Father. Because you promised that where two or three are gathered in thy name, you shall be in their midst, Father. And you are so faithful to your promise that you never left us alone, Father. You always be Amen. There to meet with us in your appointment, Father. We want to thank you, Father, this morning that your word was shown truly to us, Father. And has brought a word of encouragement, Father. Some of us, we are sure that we have it. Some of them doesn't have it, Father. The way is made open for everybody. Because as the prophet says, this is the promise, the bread, the truth, and Father. And you never call someone to make him a half believer. The prophet says, when you call someone, you make him a genuine believer, Father. And we believe and stand on those promises that never change, that you have spoken to you, prophet, Father. Amen. That whosoever shall seek me, I shall be found, Father. Amen. And we all have called thy name, Father. We know that you'll be found in the middle of us, Father. We are mortal, but you call us. You know why you call us, Father. And we trust that you will finish the work that you started in each of us' life, Father. Amen. Nobody began the work in someone's life. It's Amen. You that did it in Calvary, Father. Yes. You did it with a purpose, Father. That's why we ask you, Father, putting my faith together with the faith of Amen. The saints here, Father. We want to call your spirit, Father. Yes. Open each of us a heart, Father, that you shall find a dwelling place inside of our heart, Father. Where there's need of power, Father, Amen. Give us power, Father. Amen. Father, we consecrate our life once again at thy hand. Amen. We want to be the genuine vessel at thy hand, yes. The vessel of honor that can be used for the master use, Father. Yes. Because you put us here on the earth, Father, Amen. That we shall give you glory, Father. Yes. Glorify thy name, Father. Amen. And we ask Amen. You that you shall take preeminence yes. In each side of our life, Father. Amen. That everything that is contrary to thy word, Father, will be cast away from Amen. Our hearts and from our house in the name Amen. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And we ask you the power to live a Christian life, Amen. Father. Yes. And we know that is available power for us, Father. You must make all the resources that we need, Father. Your word is there for us, Father. The messages for the hour is there for us, Father. That's why we come to you, El Shaddai, Father. The strength giver. That you should give us strength once again. And you should feed us the way you feed Elijah. Because the journey is long, Father. And we know you have stored lots of things for us, Father. More than enough, Father. There's bread more than enough in thy house. Father, that's why we want to eat from that bread, the manna coming from heaven, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that these things should be really in each of us heart, Father, and we know, Father, that once the revelation is in of us, Father, inside of our heart, nobody can move us from there, Father. The devil can come with his cunning things, Father, he will never shook us at all, Father, because we know that on Christ, this rock, this solid rock, we stand, Father. That is the revelation of the word of God, Father. We ask you once again to restore virtue to your servant that you have used, Father, how he lay himself aside to wait upon thee, Father, and bring these things in a clear way, Father, that we could understand our position, where we are standing with thee, Father. If we are the other side of the covenant, Father, why should we have to be there? Because the veil was written that all of us should have a liberty, should have access to the throne of mercy, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Father. Why should we stay the other side of the veil, Father? Amen. We ask you to give us what we need, Father. And you already provide all things that we need for us. What we need, Father, is that we put our eyes and our thoughts, our mind in the right things, Father. Amen. We put our eyes in Calvary, Amen, where we have received the fullness of everything, Father. Bless this church, Father. Amen. Bless all the officers, Father. Yes. Bless the presence of each of you children this morning, Father. Because our presence here means something, Father. Amen. We need more of thee as we see the time, Father. As we see the day approaching, Amen, we need to redeem the time, Father. Yes. Redeeming the time means a closer walk with thee, Father. Yes. No man can give that. Man can preach. But the one thing that can bring the conviction to the heart of the people is the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why we ask you that the Holy Spirit should deal to each of us heart, Father. Where we need to make a right, Father, help us to make a right. Where we need to make a restitution, Father, help us to do it. Because Amen, this is thy word, Father. There's no a shortcoming of it, Father. Amen. And we know that you always meet man when the man do things according to thy word, Father. Amen. And you have provided a way for us this morning. And we have accepted this way, Father. Yes. And if there's an unspoken request inside of the heart of thy people, Father, can't you minister deeper inside of the heart of thy people? What could be the request of thy people, Father? It's more closer walk with thee, Father. Because as we see the flashing light of you coming all around us, Father, we can ask you a revival inside of our heart. Revive our heart, Father, and make the kingdom of God really inside of our heart. Where our eagle eyes have been dimmed, Father, we ask you to open them, Father, and give us once more like Samson, Father, that we should be willing to die with our enemy, Father. Yes. Father, we know that it's not only our enemy, but it's your enemy, Father. Amen. And you are more than a conqueror, Father. And through you, Christ, yes, we have the victory, Father. Amen. We want to stand in our post of duty and confess the victory in Amen, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Father. That the devil have no power inside of our life, Father. If there's anybody sick in this place, Father, Father, can't you come and touch? Because the scripture says, by your stripes we are healed, Father. Amen. And we confess the healing, yes, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. If there's any practical need, Father, we ask you to meet to all our needs. Amen. Because you are Jehovah Jireh. You the one who provided a lamb for Abraham. Where was no idea to get a lamb, Father. Amen. You the same God yesterday, today, and forever, Father. Amen. And you say to the disciples, when they ask you to Peter, that this promise, it those who we believe also in the future, yes, Father. And you never stop there. The promise of the Holy Spirit is ours, Father. Amen. And we come with the right attitude to receive it. Because Amen, you made it available for us, Father. Yes. Fill us with the agape love, Father. Amen. That we shall love you above everything, Father. That we shall be able, as the pastor preached, to show how Paul and Moses could count everything as lost, Amen, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Father. Amen. That could be our desire, Father. Because you are above everything, Father. Amen. There's nothing that we can compare it to it. We You are the supreme. You are the one who our heart is designed to walk with it. Yes. Father, we know that you are spirit and the truth, Father. Amen. And the life, Father. And we ask you that the word that was preached bring life to our life, Father. Give life to our heart, Father. And bring the power, Father, to inside of our life. That we should be able, Father, to change from earth to glory, Father. Because you, the one who call us, you call us for that purpose, Father. Bless us. Bless the coming weekend services, Father. Amen. How we look forward to see you manifest yourself inside of our life. Yes. That you should come to the word that we need, Father. Amen. To our children, Father. Amen. To ourselves, Father. Amen. Where is the house that is broken, Father? Amen. That you shall restore everything, Father. Amen. Because we are living in the edge of the restoration. Yes. That everything needs to be restored, Father. Amen. Where the peace is needed, Father. Grant the peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we commit everything, Father, that was preached at thy hand, that you shall help us to meditate upon these things, Father. Amen. Because you say to Joshua, Father, that these things should not depart from your mouth. Amen. And from the mouth of thy people, yes, that we shall meditate it day and night, Father. Let it be our bread. Amen. Daily, Father, and night, let this message be our portion. Yes. Bless us all, and we commit everything at thy hand. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just a reminder for the sisters to stay behind to see Brother Wilmore. Thanks.
And he prayed.